28 years ago. In fact, I'm one of those. I actually came here. Some of you that have been here a while know my story. And for those that are guests or visitors, I guess I'll introduce myself. My name's Tom Lemler. I'm the senior minister here at the Deer Run Church of Christ. And I came here 26 years ago in order to hide. I wanted a safe place to worship God where nobody would know me. And I could just sit in one of these chairs and just take in the goodness of God. But God had other plans, and was hired that year, the 2000, to be the children's minister. And then God has done a lot of things through the years, and for the last 3 years, three plus years, I've been the senior minister here. But it's that recognition that the church exists for multiple purposes. And one of those purposes, the great purpose, is to worship God, to gather together to give God the glory that He alone is due. Another one of those purposes is to encourage one another. And so we gather together in fellowship, just such as our fellowship meal following the service today, and we do a lot of food fellowships. I talked in Sunday school class that I kind of mispronounce some of Paul's instructions, because Paul says that he buffets his body daily, and so I take that literally, although he rarely says he buffets his body, but that's not near as much fun. But we do a lot of food fellowships. In fact, this coming Wednesday, in part of our Summer with the Sun midweek, we're having a sandwich surprise fellowship, because I'm not even sure yet what the sandwiches will be, but they'll be good, and it's just another time of fellowship. But part of that reason of gathering is to worship God, to encourage one another, but it's also in order to be the light of the world, the light to our community. And so it's good that there are many in this room that have not only come to Deer Run as their home church, but have come to know Jesus because of the light of the Deer Run Church of Christ. And so we celebrate all of that today, recognizing the goodness of God in bringing us together as a body that's growing, a body that's living, a body that's active. And so today, as we continue, we're in the middle of a sermon series through the Sermon on the Mount, a set of teachings that Jesus did all at once as he sat on the mountainside and he began to teach the people. But there's so much in it that we're spending a summer with the sun, a summer sitting at the feet of Jesus and taking this Sermon on the Mount and looking at it more closely. And this morning we come to a point that is, well, it almost sounds contradictory, because our message today is about being perfect. And I'm guessing if we really looked at our own life, we would say with honesty, that's not even possible. In fact, God says there's no one righteous. There's no one perfect all the time. And so how in the world do we go from no one being perfect to what we'll discover in today's text, the instruction, the command of Jesus to be perfect? Well, as we unwrap that, I'll begin this sermon the same way I've begun every one of these in this series and the way I will continue to do it. Matthew chapter 5 is where we're at. We're actually going to wrap up Matthew chapter 5 today, but at the very beginning, Matthew 5 says that Jesus looked out and he saw the crowds, and he went up on the mountainside. And he sat down and he began to teach them, saying, "How very happy are you when you experience life in its fullness." Now again, he used a lot of different words. Words that we call the Beatitudes. Blessed. Word simply means how very happy are you. Blessed are you when you mourn, when you're persecuted, when life happens. And then that introduces this entire sermon series. It introduces his entire Sermon on the Mount as he talks about how we can be blessed, how we can be very happy in the midst of life that isn't always pleasant. And so what does it look like to be perfect just as our Heavenly Father is perfect? That's actually the closing verse of Matthew chapter 5. We'll get back to that again, but verse 48 says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect." That's a pretty tall order. But if we back up and take a look at these preceding verses, I want us to consider this morning that being perfect, just as our Heavenly Father is perfect, really involves us discovering and then living with a perfect love. In fact, the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. Beginning with that perfect love of God that ought to be able to cast out from us the fear of condemnation. Why? Because the Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. There is therefore now no condemnation to all who are in Christ. And so that perfect love of God expressed through His Son Jesus delivers us from the fear of condemnation, the knowledge that we deserve punishment, we deserve eternal death. But Jesus wants to make it clear what perfect love looks like so that we can practice that. So that we can not only experience it from God, but so that our community can experience it from us. So that we can live together as one. That was the heart behind the Deer Run Church of Christ. Was desiring that unity, that oneness. And there have been a lot of ups and downs over the years. But I'm excited about where God has brought us to. And the peace that exists within the body of Christ here at Deer Run. And the way that He uses us to share the good news of Jesus. And so this morning I want to look at this idea of living, being perfect. Not in an arrogant way, not in a look at me way, but in the perfect humility of love. And in order to do that, we need God's help. We need His help not only to accomplish being perfect, but we need His help to understand what this perfect love is. And if you're a guest or visitor, give you a heads up here. Most of my sermons, in fact, I can only recall one in the last 5, 6, 10 years that did not use an acrostic for an outline. But we're going to use the word love. And these four things that God wants to be perfect in your life so that you can represent Jesus more fully in your school, in your home, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, wherever you might go. I think in order to represent the love of God in a full way, we must begin with a perfect learning. In fact, we're looking at Matthew 5, beginning at verse 43. Verse 43 begins in a similar fashion to several of these verses. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said," in this case, "love your neighbor and hate your enemy." A couple weeks ago, we talked about being honest and how sometimes we'll use that phrase, just let me be honest with you. And sometimes it raises questions as to whether does that mean you weren't honest before. But as several of you pointed out afterwards, sometimes it's simply used as pointing out that I am being honest compared to everybody else that isn't being honest. In fact, Jesus was one that would use that. He would say, "Truly, truly, I tell you, the old King James, verily, verily. In other words, I'm being honest with you. Everybody else is not being all that truthful. And in this case, he says, you've heard it said, but they've not really been truthful with you. They've only told you part of the story. Paul Harvey hadn't been born yet to tell the rest of the story. Yeah, if you're right generation, you get that, right? But he says, this idea of a perfect learning says we look beyond tradition, we look beyond what we think we know, and we discover the very nature of God revealed through Jesus Christ. In fact, he says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbors and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies. What you've been told, he says, all along isn't complete. Yes, love your neighbor. In fact, when questioned about the greatest commands, Jesus says that the two greatest commands are to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So that's important. It's not that that was bad information, it just wasn't complete. And this perfect learning says we look at God's word and we discover his desire that our perfect love starts with a perfect learning that it's meant for everyone. We love those that agree with us. We love those that disagree with us. We love those that look like us. We love those that don't look like us. We love those that act like us. We love those that don't act like us. In fact, the Bible says that if we want to represent the fullness of God's love, his love was such that while we were yet sinners, while we were enemies with God in our mind, his love through Jesus died for us. And we struggle to sacrifice ourselves for those that we care about, let alone to think of sacrificing ourselves for somebody that we don't even like. And Jesus comes along and he says, if you want to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, then you need to learn a perfect love. And in that perfect love, there's no reason for fear to live. But being perfect is not only about learning, it's also about knowing a perfect opportunity. Sometimes God puts opportunities in our life to represent Jesus and we miss it because we're not filled with the love that we ought to have. Our heart gets tarnished by hatred, by the divisions of this world, by the things that we hold on to that are not godly. As we pick up on verses 44 and 45, Matthew 5, we discover, overlapping here a little bit, but Jesus tells us, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you might be sons of your Father in heaven, for he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. That opportunity to share the love of God by doing good to all people, that's the very nature of God. I know sometimes it feels like in our mind, in our human flesh, that God is unfair. And we look at people in this world and he says, well, look what he's given them and he's not given that to me. And oftentimes it's envy and jealousy that drives that dissatisfaction with God. But God makes it clear that when the crops need rain and you drive through the countryside and you discover that every field out here has gotten the rain that God has sent, it's not that, oh, this is a good Christian farm, we're going to put rain there, but it won't go around the fence. That's not the way God works. In his love for all people, and the audience would have understood the rain to be a good thing. Now, sometimes we get too much rain and we think, I don't even want that. But they were looking forward to the rain to water their crops and to produce a great harvest. And God says, I give that to everybody because I love everybody. Not everybody uses it correctly. Not everybody uses it properly. Not everybody acknowledges the love, but that doesn't stop God from loving. And we have this perfect opportunity to love people. Period. With equality. Without division. Without preferential treatment. To understand the nature of God. We look at being perfect as we have this perfect opportunity. It's easy with our words to tell someone God loves you. But sometimes it's much more difficult with our actions to tell them that God loves you. Because the message that sometimes is conveyed in certain situations, and maybe even by us, is God loves you, but I really don't like you. That leaves a pretty mixed message. And we have the perfect opportunity. And yes, there are activities in our life, there are activities in the lives of others that God is not pleased with. But God's Spirit deals with that. He convicts people of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. That's the job. That's the work of the Spirit. And it's God's love. The Bible says that draws people to repentance. And we have a perfect opportunity to love people just as God has loved us. Now, sometimes the difficulty is we haven't stepped back to really acknowledge how God has loved us. And so we struggle with the opportunities to share God's love. And so it's good to take time. Maybe set aside time every week. Maybe it's a Sunday morning when you wake up before you get ready to come to church and worship God with others. Just think about, how has God's love been expressed to me this week? Maybe you're like me and mornings are not really your favorite time and you're struggling just to get up and get dressed and get here somewhat on time. And so it might be better for you after the church worship gathering to set aside time and deliberately consider, how has God shown His love to me this week? Because then that opens up those perfect opportunities to share with others about God's goodness, about His love. Because we've experienced whether we recognized it or not. And being perfect says that I'm recognizing the perfect learning that I receive as I spend time with God. I'm recognizing the perfect opportunity and I'm making the most of it. But it also includes recognizing and knowing the perfect value. I'm one of those individuals that I love a good bargain. And I'll research things and I'll have in my mind something that I want to buy or something that I need to buy. And I'm always very hesitant to just go out and buy it, because what if I find it cheaper later? And I love the opportunity now to do all of this online research and not even have to leave the house and discover who has it at the very best price. I want the most value for my money. I want to get the best deal. I don't want to overpay for things. I want to underpay for things. I want it to have more value than what I paid for. And the great news, as we discover this perfect love, as we discover what it looks like to be perfect, what we have received from God has a much greater value than what we've paid for it, because we haven't been able to pay anything for it. The entire thing was paid for by the blood of Jesus. Picking up in verse 46, we begin to think about, if I had that much value to God, that He looked at me, if you have that much value to God, that He looked at you and said, you are worth the blood of my Son Jesus. In order for you to be cleansed and to be made righteous, to be able to enter the kingdom of heaven, I'm willing to give my Son. All of a sudden, we ought to recognize to God we are valuable. But it's not just we. It's not just me. In fact, he says, verse 46, if you love those who love you, so what? Not quite what he said, but what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? They didn't like tax collectors any better than what we typically like tax collectors. But he says, they love each other. You loving people that are good to you, that's kind of normal. And if you greet only your brethren, only those that you agree with, only those that you're related to, only those that you get along with, what are you doing more than others? Don't even the pagans do that? He says, if you're acting like everybody else, why do you expect to be lifted up as if you're doing something special? He says, the problem is you're acting like some people have more value than other people. Being perfect says that I value every person that I'll encounter today. They have importance to me because they're important to God. And my value in God's eyes is not because I choose to do things right, because I don't always choose to do things right. My value to God in His eyes is because He created me in His image. He made me. I am His creation. And His desire is that I would be made right with Him through His Son Jesus. And the people that we encounter, those that you're sitting around today, we come to a church building and we worship God together and we value one another because we share a set of common beliefs and a common goal. But that doesn't mean we always agree. And yet we still carry that value because of Jesus. But the same holds true, or ought to hold true, when you go to school, when you go to work, when you go to your neighborhoods. You ought to recognize a value that is inherent in each person because they too are a creation of God, created in His image. We learn to be perfect when we learn to value people like God values people. And we step beyond just doing good to those that could do good for us. As God sent His Son Jesus, as He made the choice for that ultimate sacrifice to do good for us, He was very well aware that we could not come close to reciprocating anything that would be in that level of goodness. And so the goodness that we live with today is simply our reasonable act of worship. It's a reasonable response to God's goodness, because we recognize this perfect value that we have in Christ, that He desires everyone to not only just have with Him, but to have with us. And just as you begin to think, well, that sounds pretty much impossible. We get this instruction that I began with. The final point of this perfect love. We have the perfect example. Verse 48, Jesus says, "Be perfect, therefore, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." Now, sometimes in our world, and oftentimes in our world, we hear that and we immediately think that's impossible. No one is perfect. Because we read that word, we understand that word, we recognize it in the concept of having no imperfection, no flaw. But it's also a word that really deals with a completeness, a wholeness. And we can be those who live as one complete in Christ, one who is made whole through Christ. And when we recognize the example of our Heavenly Father, we also realize we have the example of Jesus. As He taught, even as He sat on the mountain at this specific time recorded by Matthew, He's looking out over a very mixed crowd, a crowd of highly educated religious people, a crowd of little education, a crowd of men and women and children. And He loves them all. And so many times throughout Scripture, you'll discover Jesus encountering a crowd somewhere. And often the very first thing that you'll read after He sees the crowd is it'll say, "He had compassion on them." The example of perfect love that could see in the heart of every person, rich or poor, wise or foolish, educated or uneducated. And He could say with certainty that you are loved, that you're important. In fact, the most common group of people that Jesus would criticize were the religious leaders. And when individuals were brought to Him that were caught in sin, you don't find Him condemning them. You don't find Him criticizing them. You will find Him correcting them. You will find Him telling them to stop sinning. But you also find Him telling them that they're loved, that they're forgiven. And we appreciate that so much when we're that person. And so to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect requires us to see this perfect example and treat others as God has treated us. The body of Christ, as I mentioned earlier, is about worshiping God. It's about encouraging one another. It's also about correcting and rebuking. It's about being trained by God's Word. But most of all, it's about love. And this morning, we come to a time of decision, a time where every one of us ought to gaze into God's Word, ought to consider His Spirit and the words that His Spirit has spoken to our heart. And ask ourselves, am I being perfect? Not in an arrogant way, but am I being perfect in love? Am I willing to learn? Sometimes we open up God's word and we believe we already know it all. I've read that thing so many times. I know what it says. I know what I ought to be doing. And we forget that God says this is living and active. Every time that I study God's word, I discover something new. Not necessarily a new truth, but a new way that God wants me to live that truth. Because I'm at a different point in life. And so we recognize this perfect love begins with a willingness to learn. That recognize that even the greatest wisdom of this world does not fully know the nature of God. And those in the days of Jesus that had spent their entire lifetime studying Scripture had a lot of things that they needed to learn. How much more do you and I need to learn? Maybe this perfect love is a question of God asking you, what are you doing with those perfect opportunities? To go beyond loving your neighbor, but also loving your enemies. To pray for those who persecute you, for those who oppose you. Maybe your decision today through the help of God's Spirit is a recognition that you've not valued people the way that God has. That you've been partial, you've shown favoritism, you've been prejudiced. And God says your desire ought to be for all people. And maybe your decision is to grow in that perfect value. Maybe you're struggling yourself and it's not necessarily others that you need to learn to value. Maybe you need to learn to value yourself as God values you. You're worthy, not because of your goodness, not because of anything you've done. You're worthy because you're a creation of God. Maybe you need to spend more time with that perfect example. You've learned, you've seen the opportunities, you've known the value, but okay, so what do I do next week? Know Jesus. Learn from Him. Put into practice His example. Surround yourself with godly individuals. Not that those never fail, but they have a track pattern. They put this into practice. They're humble enough to admit when they've not done it right. The Bible talks about us being surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. As we celebrate 28 years of Deer Run, I think of many of those witnesses that poured into my life that are no longer with us here on earth. And I anticipate and I expect that right now they're cheering us on and saying to all of us, be perfect then, just as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Live as one in unity, in faith, in doctrine, in God's Word. And know the perfect love of God so that you can share that perfect love with others. If you're here this morning or perhaps joining us online and you've never surrendered to Jesus, you've never said, God, I need to have my sins washed away. I need to be buried with Christ so that I can rise with Christ. That's where this being perfect really takes root. I would love to talk with you about that decision. to help you with those next steps that you might have. In a few moments, we're going to be singing a song of decision, and you can join me in the room to my left, and we can begin that conversation. But I say each week, for the most part, we gather because we've already made that decision and we're here in order to worship the living God. And yet we still have decisions that we ought to be making. If you're here this morning and you just need someone to pray with you, you're always welcome to find somebody near you and say, hey, would you pray with me? And you can pray where you're at. You can go into another room. You can agree to get together and pray later. You also can join me in the room to my left and we can pray together. You can send me a message throughout the week and say, hey, could we get together and pray? I'd be happy to do that. But it's my prayer today and every day that we live that we understand the perfection of God, especially in the area of love. And we aim for perfection. We're never going to get there if we don't aim for it. The old basketball saying, for those that are into basketball, says that you will miss every shot that you don't take. You will miss perfection that God desires for you to have if you don't aim for it. Will you pursue being perfect, just as your Heavenly Father is perfect? Would you stand as we